Hey everyone, welcome back. Ready for something incredible? Today we're diving deep, really deep, into spiritual practices from around the world.
That's right. And you know, it's really something to see how these practices, some of them ancient, are still so relevant today.
It really is, kind of blows my mind. You know what I mean? It's like we all have this need for something bigger than ourselves, like a shared human thing, right?
I think so, definitely. It's that search for connection, for meaning, and you see it everywhere you look.
Yeah, exactly. And we're better to start our exploration than with traditions that have been around for centuries, you know, like the Mexican Temazcal. Ever heard of it?
Oh, yeah, the Temazcal. It's more than just a sweat lodge, though. It's a whole experience.
Yeah.
Think like intense heat, herbs, chanting, all of that.
Wow.
It's really a symbolic return to Mother Earth. You know, cleansing, powerful stuff.
So like a purification ritual then, but also connected to something bigger.
Exactly. It's all about well-being, but in a holistic sense. Kind of like Ayurveda, which we see a lot of today.
Yeah, Ayurveda. It's everywhere, but I'll be honest, I don't really get it. What's the deal with Ayurveda?
Okay, so Ayurveda is all about this idea of balance. It's about understanding your unique, what they call your dosha.
Dosha, okay.
There are three main ones, Vata, Pitta, and Kapha. Each one's connected to different elements, you know.
Okay, so like different personality types or something?
Kind of. It's more like your energetic blueprint. Vata is like the wind, always changing. Pitta is fiery, driven.
Mm-hmm.
And Kapha is more grounded, stable.
Right. So if you're feeling all over the place, that might be a Vata thing.
Exactly. And Ayurveda gives you tools like diet, herbs, even colors and stuff, to bring everything back into balance.
Wow, that's wild. It reminds me of how certain smells can, like, totally change your mood, you know?
Yeah.
And speaking of ancient practices in the modern world, what about Turkish hammams? Those are everywhere now.
Totally. Hammams are interesting because they're about more than just getting clean. They're a social thing, a place to connect with people.
Yeah, you go to the hammam with your friends, right. It's a whole experience.
Yes, exactly. It's about nurturing your social well-being just as much as your physical self, which I think is so important.
Totally agree. I love that. It makes you realize that maybe we're not so different from our ancestors after all, right? Like, we're still searching for that connection, that balance. Okay, so from the warmth of the hammam, let's shift gears a bit and talk about nature.
Okay, sounds good. Nature-based practices are becoming increasingly popular these days.
They are. Have you ever tried forest bathing? It's called Shinrin-yoku in Japanese.
I've heard of it, yeah.
It's not about, like, actually bathing in the forest, though.
Uh-huh. Right.
Yeah.
I know. It's more about really immersing yourself in nature, being present, mindful, all that.
It's amazing how just being in nature can have such a profound effect on us.
It is. There are all these studies now that show it can reduce stress, lower blood pressure, even spark creativity.
Wow, that's wild. I need to try that.
You should. It's like hitting the reset button on your nervous system, you know. And speaking of nature, there are some cultures that connect with it in, let's say, more fiery ways.
Haha. You're talking about the Seno Jubal Nori fire ritual in South Korea. I saw a video once. It was amazing.
It's incredible, right? It's such a powerful display of, I don't know, energy tradition. It's been around for over 450 years.
I love how different cultures express their beliefs through these rituals. Speaking of powerful expressions, have you ever heard of Sak Yant in Thailand?
Oh, yeah, the tattoos, right?
Yeah, but they're way more than just tattoos. It's a whole spiritual thing. Like, you don't choose the design, a monk chooses it for you.
Oh, wow, I didn't know that.
Yeah, and each design has a specific meaning. It's supposed to offer protection, guidance.
Wow, so it's like a blessing etched onto your skin.
Exactly. It all comes back to that desire for something more, you know, something beyond ourselves.
Absolutely. It's like we're drawn to it, you know, this need to connect with something bigger.
Totally. And you see that connection play out in so many ways, like with water. Think about how many cultures see water as this sacred cleansing element.
Absolutely. It's like a universal symbol of purity, of renewal.
Right. Like in Cambodia, they have this beautiful ritual, the Khmer water blessing.
Oh, yeah. I've heard of that. It's where they sprinkle you with like blessed water.
Right. Exactly. It's supposed to bring good luck, wash away any negativity.
I love that. Such a simple act, but so powerful.
It is, right. And it reminds me of all the ancient healing traditions out there, like the Mayan practices. Have you ever looked into those?
A little bit. They're really interesting. It's all about shamans, energy work, that kind of thing, right?
Yeah, and they have all this knowledge about plants and healing passed down through generations.
It's incredible how much wisdom these ancient cultures hold.
It really is. Makes you think, right? And speaking of ancient wisdom, I wanted to circle back to something you mentioned earlier about Qigong. Can you tell me more about that?
Sure. So Qigong is a practice from ancient China. It's all about cultivating qi, this life force energy, and using it to improve your well-being.
So it's like energy work.
Exactly. It involves these specific movements, breathing techniques, meditation.
Wow, it sounds pretty intense.
It can be, but it's also incredibly powerful. It's about connecting with your inner self, finding balance.
I like that. And how is it different from Reiki? I always get those two mixed up.
So Reiki is similar in that it deals with energy. But with Reiki, the practitioner channels energy to you. They don't teach you how to cultivate your own. It's more about receiving.
Okay, so with Qigong, you're kind of learning to be your own healer in a way.
Exactly. And then there's Tibetan singing bowl therapy, which is another form of energy healing, but with sound. Have you ever tried that?
I haven't, but I've always wanted to. Those bowls are just mesmerizing. How does it actually work?
Well, it's based on the idea that different sounds create different vibrations, and those vibrations can actually impact our physical and mental state.
Oh, interesting. So, like, certain sounds can relax us while others might energize us?
Exactly. And Tibetan singing bowls are thought to create these very specific healing vibrations.
Wow, that's fascinating. We've covered so much ground already. It's amazing. Sweat lodges, energy work, sound healing. There are just so many different ways to connect with something bigger than
I
ourselves.
know, it's mind-blowing. And we haven't even scratched the surface. There's Vipassana meditation, Zen meditation.
Oh, yeah, tell me about those. I've heard of them, but I'm not really sure what they are.
Well, Vipassana is all about self-observation. You're basically training your mind to be more aware of your thoughts, feelings, and sensations without judgment.
That sounds really challenging.
It can be, but it can also be incredibly liberating. And then there's Zen meditation, which is all about being present in the moment.
Right. I've heard of that. It's about mindfulness, isn't it?
Exactly. It's about bringing your full attention to whatever you're doing, whether it's eating, walking, or just breathing.
It sounds like a good practice for our busy modern lives.
It is. And speaking of journeys, both internal and external, there's the Camino de Santiago, this incredible pilgrimage route in Spain.
Oh, yeah, I've always wanted to do that.
It's on my bucket list too. It's a
Yeah.
physical journey, but it's also very much a spiritual one.
Right, you're walking for weeks, you know, facing challenges, meeting people from all walks of life. It must be such a transformative experience.
Absolutely. And of course, there's the Hajj, the pilgrimage to Mecca.
Right, one of the five pillars of Islam.
Exactly. Millions of Muslims from all over the world, all coming together in this one place.
It's amazing to think about. So powerful. Okay. Changing gears a bit here, what about Australian Aboriginal didgeridoo healing? I don't know much about it.
So the didgeridoo is this incredible instrument, right? And it's used for healing in Aboriginal culture. The sound is supposed to be very therapeutic.
Interesting. I've never heard it played, but I bet it's a pretty powerful sound.
It is. It's very deep, very resonant.
Yeah.
And it's not just about the sound itself, it's about the intention behind it.
Right, the healing energy.
Exactly. You know, speaking of healing, there's fasting. It's another practice that's found across many different cultures and religions.
It is, like Ramadan in Islam, Yom Kippur in Judaism.
Exactly. And it's not just about abstaining from food and drink, it's about taking a break from the material world. Connecting with something deeper.
It's about cleansing, both physically and spiritually, right?
Absolutely. And sometimes that cleansing takes a more, let's say, active form. Have you ever seen the Sufi dervishes whirl?
Oh, yeah. It's incredible, isn't it?
It's like they're in a trance.
They are, right. It's a form of moving meditation, I think.
Exactly. And speaking of expressive dance forms, there's hula from Hawaii.
Oh, yes. Hula's amazing. It's so beautiful and
It's
graceful.
not just a dance, though. It's a
Yeah.
way of telling stories, of connecting with the land, with their ancestors.
It's about keeping their culture and traditions alive.
I love that. And
Yeah.
it reminds me of other purification rituals we've talked about, like the sweat lodge ceremony.
Oh, yeah. Powerful stuff. It's like a symbolic death and rebirth.
Exactly. You're sweating out all the toxins, all the negativity. It's like a fresh start.
I love that imagery. And speaking of rituals, I'm fascinated by the Ganga Aarti in India. Ever
Yeah.
seen videos of that?
Yes. It's so beautiful. All those lights on the water.
It's magical. They offer these little lamps to the Ganges River every evening.
It's a beautiful way to show gratitude and respect for nature, for the divine feminine.
Absolutely. And then you have ancestor veneration, which is another fascinating practice found in many cultures.
It is like Dia de los Muertos in Mexico.
Oh, the Day of the Dead. Such a beautiful tradition. I know, it's so colorful and vibrant. And it's not about mourning death, it's about celebrating life.
Exactly. It's about remembering and honoring those who came before us. And ancestor worship is also a big part of Chinese culture, right?
It is. They have these elaborate shrines in their homes.
It's about respecting your elders, honoring your lineage. And, you know, speaking of journeys, there's Mount Kailash in Tibet. It's a sacred site for like 4 different religions.
Wow, really? I didn't know that.
Yeah, and people go on these pilgrimages there, walking around the mountain.
It sounds intense, but also amazing. It's incredible how important these sacred sites are to people.
They are. They're like portals to another realm, you know? Places where people feel a deep connection to something bigger than themselves. And speaking of those connections, Uluru, or Ayers Rock, in Australia is another example.
Oh yeah, Uluru. I've always wanted to see that. It's such a powerful symbol of Australia.
It's sacred to the Aboriginal people there, you know? They believe it's inhabited by ancestral beings.
Wow, I didn't know that. It gives me chills just thinking about it. Okay, last one, I promise. But I'm curious about divination practices. Tell me about the I Ching. How does that work?
So the I Ching is like this ancient Chinese book of wisdom. And you can use it for divination to gain insight into your life.
So you ask it a question.
Well, kind of. You focus on a question or a situation, and then you cast these coins or yarrow stalks.
And that gives you an answer?
Well, it gives you a hexagram, which is a symbol made up of 6 lines. And each hexagram corresponds to a specific passage in the I Ching, which offers guidance or insight.
Wow, that's amazing. So it's like ancient wisdom for modern problems.
Exactly. And speaking of divination, there's tarot, which has become really popular again lately.
It has. And I think people are starting to see it less as fortune telling and more as a tool for self-reflection. Would you agree?
Absolutely.
It really makes you think about all the different ways people find meaning and connection.
It is. It's like we all have this innate desire for something beyond ourselves. You know?
Absolutely. And what's so cool is that there are so many paths you can take, so many different traditions to explore.
I know, right?
Yeah.
And I think the important thing is to approach it all with an open mind. Like, just because something's different from what we're used to doesn't mean it's wrong or weird or anything.
Exactly. It's about being curious, being respectful.
Exactly. It's about expanding our understanding of the world and of ourselves.
Couldn't have said it better myself. And I think that's a perfect note to end on. It's been amazing exploring all these different spiritual practices with you.
It's been a pleasure.
For anyone listening, we'd love to hear your thoughts. Did any of these practices resonate with you?
Yeah, let us know. Maybe there's a practice you've always wanted to try or a tradition you want to learn more about.
And hey, maybe this deep dive has inspired you to start your own spiritual journey. You never know.
You never know.
That's it for us today. Until next time, keep exploring, keep asking questions, and keep searching for that spark of something more.